Okay, last week we started discussing questions about homosexuality in Halacha and the Torah's viewpoint. Okay, I think most of you were here last week, some of you were not. So let's just quickly review some of the points we mentioned last week and then get to the discussion this week, which is really more of the philosophical discussion of how it's possible to have this problem in the first place. Okay, you guys ready? Are we all ready? Guys, you ready? Yes, yes, okay, great. What did the Torah say about homosexuality? Who remembers? The pasuk said,
"Man cannot lie with a man."
Thank you. Cannot lie with a man. Correct. Okay. Et zachar lo tishkav mishkavei isha. Okay. A man cannot lie with another man. Okay. That is toivat, an abomination. Okay. What do we say the punishment for such an action is? What do we say, guys? What's the punishment for it? If you have witnesses and you have a warning and all the whole thing. So the punishment is in the times of the temple. Punishment was death. Death through stoning. Death through stoning. Very scary. Okay. What did we say the status was of women, of lesbians being? What did you say? So the Torah, very good. The Torah did not mention it directly. We saw last time in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that it was still, was it forbidden? The answer was yes, it's forbidden, but based on a different pasuk. It was based on a pasuk. Anybody remember what the pasuk was? Source 5 and 6. Source 4 and 5, sorry. Would you say it? Okay, that's good. That was the source of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that women that are misulo, which basically means they rub against each other, which basically describes more or less what's happening for lesbians. That is forbidden because it says, do not do what they did in Egypt. Kamase eretz mitzrayim asher yishavtan ba lo ta'asu. And apparently in Egypt, women did this. So therefore we said that the prohibition for women is not quite as severe as for men, because it's not a punishment of death, and it's not the direct prohibition, but yet it still is definitely a prohibition. Some say that the prohibition is biblical, as it sounds like from the sources we just read, and some say maybe it's only rabbinic. But everybody agrees that it is still forbidden. Okay? Everybody got that? You still with me? Okay. What do we say the reason for this prohibition is? We discussed last time from the Gemara and the Dharma Sefer HaChinuch. What do we say part of the idea behind this prohibition was? Again, this is not the... This doesn't make it permitted or prohibited, but what's part of the reason why it might be forbidden? We said last time, anybody remember? Two ideas. What did you say? Excellent. Pruvu. We said that there's a problem if you don't have children. If a man doesn't get married normally, we said that he's violating the mitzvah of having children, and he's also violating the part of what's called Hotzah Zera Levatala, which we said meant wasting seed. Remember that? Okay, which is, by the way, a prohibition unto itself. Okay, even if you are married, even if a male is married, he can still violate a prohibition of wasting seed if he basically ejaculates without being in the context of marital relations. Okay, again, we're not going into that now, but that's basically part of the problem here as well. Okay, what else was the problem according to the Sefer HaChinuch? We said also there's a problem of being something, remember what he said? Nim'as mechu'ar tinuf. Anybody remember the words? That is very disgusting, repulsive, not normal. Anybody remember that? That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Okay, it was in source number 9. The third line in source number 9, we said that milavach inyan oto tinuf nim'asu mechu'arhu me'od meinei kol ba'al seichel. Anybody with a brain, with a brain on his shoulders, a head on his shoulders, would say that this is disgusting and repulsive. Va'ish nivrel avod boro, and a person who is created to serve his creator, lo ra'u lid navel b'masim mechu'arim kailu, is not appropriate for him to make himself disgusting through these terrible acts, these repulsive acts. Okay, that's what the Sefer HaChinuch said. Okay. And basically, that's why the Gemara and Dharma said, To'eva, the idea of To'eva, an abomination, meant Ata To'eba. What did that mean? Ata To'eba? It meant that you do what? You stray off the path through doing this. Meaning, this is normal or not normal? What did they say? It is not normal. Okay. Good. That's how far we got up to last time, I think. Okay, any questions on the part, just the review from last time? Any questions on this before we get to the rest of it? Okay, great. Just an interesting question that I think we did not ask last time, but one could ask, and I think somebody asked me this last year. Okay. Is there a problem of yichud? You guys know what yichud is? Mm-hmm. What's yichud?
Like being alone.
Being alone. Being, who being alone?
A man and a woman.
Loud.
A man and a woman have some.
Excellent. Okay, your name again is Rebecca, right? Rebecca. Okay, great. So, Yichud is a man and a woman being alone together in a room where nobody else is around and or nobody else can get inside. Okay, if you are, would you say? Oh, one second, hold on. Okay, so that's Yichud. Okay, if you're in your house alone and your boyfriend, if you have one, is there with you and there's nobody else around and the door is locked, is that okay? Definitely not okay. Is it okay to have a boyfriend? That's a discussion for now. Okay, that'll be for a different class. Yes. What? Okay, again, that's not a question for now. Excuse me? I didn't say do. I asked, do you? I said, it's okay. I said, it's okay or not okay. We are not going into that now. Okay, we will not get into that topic. That might be a little bit too controversial for controversial topics right now. Maybe a little later in the year, maybe we'll talk about it a little more. What'd you say? What's December 10th? You leave December 10th?
Yes.
Where are you going?
The Army.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What's... You're Israeli?
No, I'm super American.
Wow, and you're going to the Army December 10th? Okay, we'll talk about it sometime. Sounds very exciting, but it's a shame you can't.
It's very controversial.
It's very controversial. Why can't you wait till next year?
And Chabad Rabbi said I should go now.
That's controversial. Okay. All right, we will speak at some point, okay? Where do you come from again?
All of the
Southern
California kids are super Tsionian.
So interesting.
That's what they're
so interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so we'll talk about this later. If you ask me, I would say at least you should have a full year of Midrash Shafers before you go to the Army. But whatever, I guess Chabad rabbis think that Army is more important than Midrash Shaf. Very interesting. Okay, excuse me? I guess that's true. It depends on the Chabad. Okay. Excellent. Very good. The Army is a great thing. You're lucky you weren't there last. You might have to go into Gaza. Okay. Here we go. So my question to you, okay, real question is, if there's a prohibition of Yichud for a man and a woman to be alone together, is there, finish the question. Excellent. Thank you, Rebecca. Is there the same rule of Yichud for a man and another man to be alone together? What do you say? That's a great question. For that, the answer is probably that it's still usur. Even if there's no, you know, attraction, you know, on a sexual level, the halacha is that shomer negiyah still applies. We don't go play around with. Okay. Good. So now, that doesn't make any sense? Okay. Unfortunately, we don't have time to address that question. Excuse me? That's right. That's basically the answer. Okay, but the point is that we can't start making exceptions to the rule, because then you start making exceptions with that rule, and then, remember your name again?
Gila,
right? So Gila's going to start telling me, well, there shouldn't be any problem of Yichud for an 80-year-old man and a 35-year-old woman.
No, that can technically be a problem.
Why?
Nowadays, people do that.
Okay, maybe. What about if he's 85? What about if she's 85? Okay, good question, right? Good question. The answer to all those questions, again, not for now, but the answer to all those questions is that we generally do not make exceptions. Okay, the rule is the rule, and because the line is very iffy, so we generally do not make exceptions. Okay? The question here that I'm asking you now is, what about two men? So look at source number 10. Okay, this is the Shulchan Aruch in one of the sections of Shulchan Aruch called Evan Ha'ezer, and it says here, Lo nechshedu Yisrael al mishkav zachar v'yala behema. The Jewish people are not nechshedu. The word chashud. Anybody know what that means? Okay, chashud means suspected. Okay, it means that Jews are not suspected about mishkav zachar and about having relations with an animal. Okay, with bestiality. Lefichach ein isur litiachini machen. Therefore, there is no prohibition to do what? There is no prohibition to have what, guys? There's no prohibition for what?
To have
Yichud. What's Yichud again? Alone, right. So it means that there is no prohibition for a man to be alone with another man. Okay?
Even if they get.
Hold on. Okay. Skip this. Okay, skip to the last line. Okay, last line of source number 10. Okay? Uvedot halo sherabu apritzim yeshli t'racheg mi lityachedim hazachar. The Shulchan Aruch says, in these generations, at the time that he lived, there are many people that are called priests, meaning many people that get a little out of hand with these kind of things. And he says, in today's times, because of these people, one should distance oneself from being alone with another man. Wow, very interesting, right? You guys see? Okay. Look at verse number 11. Number 11 is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, known as the Beit Shmuel. Now look what he says here. Okay, guys, you looking? Verse number 11. He says, "Katav Abach, Amachaber, Kain Katav Lafim Medinato." He says the Shulchan Aruch wrote that because that's where he lived. So Prusim Baverizu, and there were a lot of people that were very into Mishkav Zachar in his area. Where did the Shulchan Aruch live, by the way? Believe it or not, where did he live? First in Spain. Most of his life, though, he lived in Sfat. Sounds a little strange, right? Were there people doing? Were there a lot of gay people in Sfat in the 1500s? Apparently so. Maybe. To be honest, I don't know. I'm really not sure. It's a little strange. What's that? We should find out. You're right. I don't. To be honest, I have no idea how to research that point. I really don't know how to find out. Okay. He says, but today he says in his area, Poland, you do not have to distance yourself. If you want to, it's something nice to do, but you don't need to. Okay. So according to that, it seems like halachically there's no problem with yichud for two males. The problem is, guys, what happens if you know the guy's gay? If you know the guy's gay and you're a male, or in your case, if you know the girl is a lesbian and you're a female, what do you think the halacha is?
Don't be
so could be, it's very possible that the rule would be that you should not be alone. Both for practical reasons and also for halachic reasons. Okay? Very interesting, right?
Wait, if you're not gay,
you're with him? Yeah, that's the problem. Meaning if you're not gay, but he is gay, or whatever, so maybe it's still a problem, because...
Well, it would be much more of a problem with two gay people than one person.
Yeah, that's for sure true. If there's two gay people, for sure it's a problem. If there's one gay person, then one can discuss it. It could be it's still a problem because we're, you know, concerned that maybe he's going to, you know, he's going to try to seduce you. Again, it's not an absolute, okay? It's not a definite.
Wait,
it's a question.
That's the case.
It's a question. It's not definite.
Girl be in the room with a gay guy?
So that's a question. Again, I said before,
no,
right.
Still,
as I said before.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
But he is in a gay bed.
And the answer is the halacha remains the same at that point. And because the halacha is always that a man and a woman can't be alone together, it doesn't change, even if one of them is gay or lesbian or whatever. Okay, even though the reason might be less of a question, the halacha is that it doesn't change. Okay. Okay, next point. Okay, next point. Now the rest of the philosophical question comes. This is where we left off last week, so we'll spend the next 15, 20 minutes talking about it. What's the problem? What?
Okay.
What? The answer is that if one of them is gay, it's a bit of a question, and maybe it should be avoided. Okay? The answer, again, they don't discuss it directly. What they said is that the Shulchan Aruch said that in his time, when there were a lot of people that were gay, he said it was a problem to be alone with another man. So what we're saying is that based on that, it would seem that if you... Today, again, there are not a lot of people that are gay today, but if you know somebody's gay, then maybe the rule of the Shulchan Aruch should apply, and you really shouldn't be alone with him. Okay?
Okay.
Got it? Okay, so what's the problem philosophically, guys? I'm sorry, we're competing against some very loud noises out there.
A little bit.
Oh, really? That's building a sukkah with a drill like that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Over the hotel.
Over the hotel. Ah. I see. No wonder. I understand. Okay. So now I ask you guys, okay, philosophically, ready to listen up. Philosophically, what's the big problem today with saying all the things that we said about the Torah's approach to being gay? What's the problem? Yes, Racheli. We already said this last time. I'm just trying to review here. Yes. Okay, that's what we said. Remember that? It's very challenging to tell somebody to practice celibacy. Now, did we say the Torah tells you that you can't be gay? No, the Torah does not legislate your feelings. What does the Torah legislate? Only... the actions, exactly. The Torah says you cannot act on your feelings here. What'd you say? So that's the problem. That's exactly where we left off last time. We said, yes, it's true that technically they don't have to engage, you know, any type of action with another man. And they don't have to. The Torah, you know, they could be gay and still hold back. But the problem is it's just not fair. If their mentality and they're built a certain way, genetically or biologically or whatever really, so that it's not fair that they have certain tendencies and they can't act on them. That's not right. How can God create a person where he cannot act on his tendencies at any point during his life? Right? That was the big problem we had. Remember that? Okay. So what we're going to do now is read some sources in English of Jewish thinkers in today's time and how they have tried to approach this question. Okay? Does this question bother any of you? It does. Repeat the question again. Remember your name again?
Olivia.
Olivia, right? Please repeat the question for Rebecca, right?
If someone's like born gay, like, and it's not fair that they shouldn't be able to, like, act on it.
Okay, everybody got that? Okay, let's turn to source number 13. Okay, so source number 13 is not going to directly answer the question, but it'll get us started into the context of what we're talking about here. Okay, these sources are all in English, so I would really, really be happy if somebody wants to volunteer and read them. Read them. Who wants to read? Okay, I forgot your name. Remember your name again? Tammy, right. Okay, go for it, Tammy. You're going to mess up English? The rule is that English girls can't mess up English, okay? It's impossible. They don't mess up English. Okay? Go for it. Same-sex attraction.
It's mainly distinguished from brazen public identification of a forbidden behavior. In a territorial society, people would recognize that every individual instrument is given its own unique constitution of challenges, and some of these challenges consist of feeding an impulse for forbidden behavior. That every individual instrument also possesses the resilience and strength to triumph over its challenges.
Okay, good. Yeah, you can keep going.
Okay. How painful, sad, and sober is the sharp contrast between the clear attitude that should prevail in the queer-sorry community and the confusion that exists among well-intentioned individuals within our community. We are not speaking of the hearsay of elements who, although identify themselves, will stop demand and change in the Torah. Rakamana Litzlan, a clear violation of the 13 principles of faith. Instead, we're speaking of the confusion caused by slaves and tribes in our community. Due to the influence of slaves and tribes, appropriate sympathy and discrete suffering has become conflated with public celebratory identification of people with American thought for this behavior. In today's gathering,
same-sex extraction.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
It's not viewed as a challenge of Misha Hayek overcoming and seeing the impulse and source of forbidden behavior, but rather as a troubling product by lacking compassion, back on one element. The influence of today's describe on our thinking is sadly and mostly evident. The life of Torah, however, dispels confusion. Calm is hard when honestly and unconditionally pursued, allows us to recognize the society-induced three misconceptions in the Bible. Calm is hard allows us to absorb the divine.
Weltanschauung. Yeah, it's a German word, Weltanschauung.
Okay, you can say
Weltanschauung. Okay, you could say it, Dina. Weltanschauung. Weltanschauung basically means an outlook on life, like a perspective, a certain, you know, outlook on life. Okay, keep going. Okay, let's hear it. There we go, that's much better. Okay, keep going. Okay, great, thanks so much. Excuse me? Okay. All right, what's this piece here? What's the point of this piece? What are they trying to say here? What are they arguing? What's the question they're addressing, and what are they saying about it? Okay, meaning the Torah rejects the act, but not the tendency, right? So if somebody is gay, you know, is gay in tendency, we should help them. Okay? Why is he saying that? Because some people in the Orthodox community are basically very anti-gay people and basically say we should shun them, get them out of here, kick them out of our schools and our schools, right? And they're saying, not so fast, right? Just if they didn't commit the act, then, you know, there are people that are suffering and we have to try to help them, correct? Good. What else are they saying? What's the other big point of this argument? One second. What's the other big point of this argument before we have more comments? Anybody? Anybody else want to help Tammy? What's the other big point? Aiden, yeah.
Just because they're gay doesn't mean that they should separate from Judaism. We should still encourage them to keep doing this.
Okay, that's good. That's part of the same thing. I mean, we should encourage them to still be part of the community, and we need to encourage the community to still bring them in. Okay. Well, what's the other point that they're focusing on here about the Jewish version, the Jewish opinion about homosexuality versus that of the rest of the world? Anybody? Yeah, Shoshana. Okay, okay, good. Oh gosh, I'm trying your name again. Remember your name again? Rebecca, right.
Are there people who actually live by them?
Live by what?
Are there actually, like, you know, out of the closet gay men who identify as Orthodox Jews?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but not yes, but not very many. There are some. There's actually one who's
five.
Oh, your community? Wow. You know some? So, put it this way. You know, there. This is a whole discussion of whether somebody who's gay should go public with it or not go public with it. Excuse me? There is a rabbi. Yes, there is a rabbi. Okay, my father is actually very friendly with him, believe it or not. Rabbi Greenberg. Now, who? That, the rabbi? Right, that's the only one I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't know if he's still married. Is he still married? He's still married?
Oh.
That's the problem. That's part of the problem. Meaning he basically, even though he has Orthodox smicha, he actually got smicha from YU, believe it or not, from Yeshiva University. He believes that. Correct. But this particular point, I believe that he can't deal with. Meaning he can't deal with this, with the problem. How could it be the Torah says it's forbidden, and therefore it must be that, you know, that doesn't really apply. Okay. Now, what they're saying here is that you can't say that because the Torah is very clear that the act is wrong. Okay? And even if the entire society around us says, oh, be open-minded, be liberal, if that's how they're created, that's how they have to be, whatever, we have to stand strong. Okay? Meaning we in the Orthodox community, that's not a very popular stand in the wider community, we have to stand strong and say, no, we believe in the Torah. If the Torah says it's wrong, we think God knows what he's talking about. God created the world, he created us, he wrote the blueprint for the world, and that's the Torah. And therefore, if that's what God says, then we have to trust God. Now again, did God say that the tendency is wrong? No, God said the act was wrong. God does not tell us how to deal with the tendency and why he created the tendency. That we don't know. But we have to say that the act is wrong. Okay, that is, if we are Orthodox Jews, then we must say that. And even if everybody else tells us that we're crazy and makes fun of us or whatever in the world, we have to stand strong for what we believe. Yes, who's first? All right.
I know we touched on this last week also, but does this mean that the man's obligation to have children becomes void if he has these sexual problems?
That's a great question. Okay, so the answer to that question is not clear. It depends on who you ask. If you ask me, I think that we would agree. I think most rabbis would agree that if it's too hard for him to have a normal marriage relationship with a woman, then he's exempt. Okay, because of his tendencies. Okay, meaning if it's just not going to be productive and fulfilling for him, and it's not going to be good for his wife or for his kids, and it's not worth it, then maybe he'd be exempt. Okay, meaning if I, you know, rabbis that advise people like this, that actually would ask it for advice, and most of them would tell the people that if you don't think you can handle it, don't try. It's, you're going to ruin people's lives in the process, and it's not worth it. Okay, if they think they can handle it, they won't have the same attraction, but they can have a loving spouse, and they can love their spouse in a non-sexual way, and they can love their kids, you know, in a normal way, then they should try. But you have to, yeah, the person has to be honest about it. Okay, and there are people out there that can do it. They love their wives very much, just not sexually. But if they can handle it, and the wife is okay with it, which is a big deal, a very, very big deal, if she's okay with it, then, you know, by all means, they definitely should be encouraged to try.
And is he his beard, like, is that man still sexually open, or like, does he just pretend to be heterosexual?
No, he is homosexual. He's homosexual. I
get that, but if, like, in that case, if she's supposed to be his beard, like, is he not supposed to come public about, like, his tendency?
So if you ask me, it's better not to go public about it, okay? Thinking all these kind of things. The same way that we don't really recommend that people that drive to Shul on Shabbos should, like, publicly declare, we drive to Shul on Shabbos, and we are proud of it, right? That's not, again, in a Reform Shul, that's one thing, but in an Orthodox Shul, even if we welcome those people to come and we want them to come to Shul, again, that's a big question of how you allow people to drive to Shul on Shabbos. That's not for now. It'll be a different time. But we don't tell them that they should be public about it in a way that they should be proud of it. And I think the same thing is true here also. Okay, we can be sympathetic for people, even if we know that they're gay, but to go up and make a gay pride parade, and I think there was a parade here in Israel recently, okay? A gay pride parade goes against everything we stand for, okay? That is not about Judaism saying, yes, we have Yetzer Hara, and we know that we have problems and we try to deal with them. That's why I'm saying we are proud of the fact that we're going against the Torah. And for something like that to be in the Orthodox community, I think is a bit of a problem, okay? That's my personal opinion. But for them to go to the rabbi privately and some of their friends and say, guess what, you know, I have this problem, and I know that this is difficult, and I know it's not easy for me to tell you this and for you to hear this, but I need help, I need support. I need you to help support me if I want to try to get over this problem, okay? That, by all means, is, you know, very much encouraging. The rabbi and the community has to be supporting as much as they can for this, supporting as much as they can. Yes? Correct. Correct.
Why it's
a problem to be open. It's not a problem to be open in a way that people know. I don't think it should be public in a way that people are, like, proud of it. Okay, I think it should be something that they are, you know, not embarrassed, but it's not something they should declare to the world in a proud way. That's what I mean.
Why is it a problem if somebody wants to be proud of their sexual
orientation? Well, you're saying only if they're oriented, but they're not acting on it?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I take that back then. Okay. Okay, if they're oriented that way, then I think that it's something that if they wanted to tell people, they can, but I don't think that's the kind of thing that should be public knowledge to everybody else. Meaning it's not, the same way you don't share other details of your private life with the rest of the community, you know, that this is also something which is, you know, why does he tell everybody? If he wants people's sympathy, then he could tell people in a very discreet way. What'd you say? Right, but again, it's different. It depends who you ask, but here, because the tendency is something which leads to an act which is not, you know, ideal halakhically, so I would say that it's not, you know, it's not the first thing that I would say that they should be declared on, you know, put on your Facebook page, whatever it is. Again, if that means you want people, if you want, what'd you say? I think they should be embarrassed. I think it's something that they have to realize that the way that where it leads to is very problematic. And therefore, if they want to be open about it in a way that they're being open because they want people to support them, that's one thing. If they're being open about it because they want to be proud of the tendency, I'm not sure if that's going in the right direction. Because if they really want people to be proud of it, then the next step is going to be that they're going to marry another guy, and that's for sure not okay. Would you say? What they can be proud of, what people can be proud of, again, from an Orthodox perspective, is they can be proud of the fact that they are not acting on their tendency. That's something they can be proud of. Okay, that's very different than saying they're proud of the tendency themselves. Tendency means that God created us in certain ways, with certain features, and certain lacks, and certain characteristics, and we have to figure out how to deal with them. Okay, the same way that somebody who's, you know, who's God forbid, has other problems. You know, they, I don't know if they're proud of the fact that they, you know, but they learn to deal with it, and we should be proud of them for learning to deal with it. Anyway, you know, it's, if they're not acting on it, I'm not going to be, it's not as much of a big deal about being, you know, open or proud about it as it is if they're actually acting on it. I think that's much worse. Okay.
What are the other halakhot in the Torah that are called Koeva? I know one of them is, like, if you're not honest in business.
Certain aspects of, correct, of being dishonest in business, correct. There's a few other ones. I don't remember where they are offhand. Somebody who calls, like, Ovi Doni, somebody who does, like, the, you know, neocurrency, as they call it, like witchcraft. That's also mentioned, I think, as a Toeva, yeah. Okay, we have to finish up, guys. It's already 4:10. We did not finish this, unfortunately. I really wanted to finish this today. Very quickly, okay, we'll just do one more source inside. Okay, source 14. Let's read this inside, and then we'll have to stop there for today, and then we'll finish up next week for, like, 5 minutes, and then be done. Okay, let's read source 14 quickly in English, and we'll stop here. Quickly, guys. We need to answer very quick. Come on. One person, guys. Go. I'm going to choose somebody.
Okay,
go.
Okay. Is that it is a perversion of heterosexuality.
Where are you? Source 14. 14.
Oh, my bad.
14.
Okay. Rabbi Shmuel Mateach has lectured to many non-Jewish and gay audiences and has also written about this subject at length. Rabbi Mateach agrees with all the concepts stated above, and some ideas expressed above were taken from his writing. He also states that homosexuality cannot be a deviance, since by definition, sexual deviance is an oxymoron. Since sex is instinctive, and instinct cannot be deviant. God expressed a preference for heterosexuality and mandated that only this type of sexual activity is permitted for human beings. Since the Torah has defined Western morality and has preserved it for thousands of years, its viewpoint needs to be taken seriously. Rabbi Aaron Feldman from Baltimore, a noted rabbi in the Haredi camp, has recently come under some criticism for his views on the subject. Rabbi Feldman said that non-practicing homosexuals have an important role to contribute in Jewish life. He also said that a Jew is judged by his action, not his orientation. Only actions are prohibited, not proclivities. Controlling behavior, though difficult, is what the Torah asks. Judaism looks negatively at homosexual activity, but not at the homosexual nature.
Okay, you can stop here. We don't read the next paragraph. We're almost... Okay, what do you guys think about what two scholars have said here? You understand what they said? You agree, disagree? Last comments. Okay, everybody wants to get out of here already. Want to finish up? Okay. All right, everybody understand what they're saying, though? I mean, both of them are really saying. One, Rabbi Feldman is Haredi, Rabbi Mateach is Rabbi Mateach. You've all heard of him, right, I assume?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all heard of him. Yes, he's controversial. He's not Haredi. He's Chabad. Okay, controversial. And maybe... I know, maybe he says to go to the army right away, I don't know. Anyway, so they both say that basically that there is such a concept as somebody who is gay, and maybe God made him that way, we don't really know why, but God made him that way. But as long as he doesn't act on it, so then that's considered to be, from a Torah perspective, that's considered to be fine. Okay, that's basically what is expected of you by the Torah if you are gay. The Torah expects you to overcome your tendency, or your Yetzer Hara. Is it easy? No, it's very, very hard, extremely hard. That's what the Torah expects of you, the same way that the Torah expects a regular person to overcome their Yetzer Hara when they're not married or not at the right time. Okay, yes, very quickly.
When you say overcome their tendency, does that mean that they will have a new tendency to be attracted to the opposite gender?
No, it just means they will not act on their tendency to be... Okay, yes.
So you said that God creates all the, like, everybody and gives some of them obstacles.
Right.
That's kind of cruel for... If God made the law, or there's a law that we're not allowed to act, that they're not allowed to act on, that,
you're right.
Then it's like it's so cruel to. I don't know.
You're right, that's the problem. That's exactly the problem. So they're going to answer, well, we don't always know why God does things. The same way that we don't know why somebody, you know, gets crippled or doesn't have a hand or can't hear or is blind or whatever. Even if they're born that way, we don't know why God did that to them. It's not fair. Okay, but for whatever reason, God gives each person their unique challenges in life. And maybe for whatever reason, this guy's challenge is to try to avoid that Yetzer Hara and live his life accordingly. Is it easy? No. Is he going to get a lot of schar for it? My guess is he'll get a lot more schar for it than any of us getting reward for overcoming our tendencies, because his is so much greater. The bigger the tendency, the greater the person is who overcomes it. Again, is that consolation for him? Probably not. But as Orthodox Jews, there's not really much else we can say. On this point, there's one other opinion which we didn't get to yet, which I think we'll have to save for next time. But yeah.
That's just something I read. I don't know if there's someone in this class or not, so I'm sorry if you guys heard it. But someone said that if you take, for example, the guy who's in love with his best friend's wife, and like he's spent his whole life in love with her, and he's absolutely besotted with her, and he can't think about anyone but her, he's still not going to act on it. So while, like, we don't show such sensitivity to that guy, like, we don't say to him, oh, like, you have a tendency, but you're not acting on it. So it's like the same with a gay person, is that sure it's not ideal and sure it's hard for them, but it's just in the same way that you wouldn't go if you were a friend's wife, that the gay guy shouldn't go for it.
I think the answer is just that, you know, maybe there's a difference between, you know, at least if you have your own wife or husband, and you have no husband or wife because you can't get married in the normal way, in the way that you want to. That's the only difference. I mean, yeah, there is still a similarity in the two, but it's not exactly the same thing. Okay, the only other option here of explaining this whole thing, which we'll have to discuss very briefly next time, and next time we will finish this, like, within 15 minutes. Okay, I don't want to spend the whole time on this next time, is others, including Rav Moshe Feinstein, who believe that the whole drive is wrong. It's not real. And this is also very interesting and very controversial. They believe that when somebody says they have a gay tendency, they're making it up. What does that mean they made it up? It means they created it from themselves. God would never ever create somebody in that way. Now, this is also very controversial, because if you ask a lot of people that are gay, they're going to tell you they have a gay tendency, of course. Why did Moshe Feinstein say that? What do you think was his motivation to say that? Because he couldn't accept the possibility that maybe, what? God would... Ken, who's talking?
Yeah. Remember your name again? Sean, right? Yeah. Exactly. You hear the point?
Moshe Feinstein couldn't believe, okay, couldn't believe that God would create somebody with a tendency to be gay, and not for the Torah not to allow him to act on it. It can't be that the Torah would never allow for such a tendency. And therefore, since it can't be that the Torah would God would create somebody that way and not allow him to act on it, it must be that what? The tendency does not exist. It's wrong, it's made up, it's a figment of his imagination. He did it to himself. Yeah.
If the tendency is made up, why would the Torah acknowledge it as real?
Who said the Torah acknowledges it as real? As real.
It talks about having homosexual feelings.
Where?
In the passage that we read.
It says do not act on it. It says do not act on it. The Moshe saying because it says do not act on it means there's no feelings in the first place. What?
In order to have an action, there needs to be a desire.
Right, but Ramosh is going to say the guy made it up himself. It's his own desires. He made it up. And then we have to finish up.
It is thrown off by last semester's times. This class ends at 4:10.
I know. Rav David is still teaching, so I figure I'm going to teach until he stops. But
it bumps the next class.
Yeah, no, we knew already. Right? I was waiting for him to finish. But yeah. Okay, we're finished up. Okay, so the bottom line there... excuse me? What? Because it's what? His last class?
His class is next.
Oh, his class is next? Oh, I see. I didn't realize. On that note, I guess we are finishing up. And bottom line, just for Moshe to understand what he did, he said basically that it can't be that the God would create a person that way and not allow him to act on his tendencies. And therefore, it means the guy created himself. What does that mean? It means the guy decided on his own that he wants to be gay. And because he wants to be gay, he wants to be gay. And that's very controversial. But yeah, you should know there are some psychologists that actually say such a thing. They actually said that based on certain things that happened in a person's life, that might have caused a person to become gay. And maybe with therapy, they can actually get out of it. Now, this is also a very controversial point that we're going to have to finish up next time. Okay? Have a great day, everybody. Hope it's been-